Thank you, and good morning, and thank you for being here on Wednesday. I was going to not use slides, but I think just for the sake of the Learning Institute and what else, I will. But direct your attention here. and I'm also going to be brief because we have a small crowd. I'd like to keep it interactive, so feel free to interrupt. It's not interrupting, in fact. Feel free to ask questions during the presentation. I'm going to talk today about some work that I have been involved with a group that came out of, hi, Marika, small crowd, the HIA of America's conference, which is a relatively kind of colloquial group that meets in Oakland every about 18 months. And it started in about 2009. The San Francisco Department of Health, Human Impact Partners in Oakland, and a number of other folks in the Bay Area convened this conference as really a workshop for practitioners. And so via that conference, we've convened a number of working groups on different topics related to HIA, and that has also blossomed into the Society of Practitioners of Health Impact Assessment, SOFIA. And I'll mention it briefly, and Tiffany might mention it as well. We have some information on that organization, but I'd encourage you to have a look at that. So anyway, I just want to acknowledge that, and I'll acknowledge the individuals in the working group at the end of my presentation, but I just want to set that as the context for this work. I have no conflicts to disclose. Patricia, are you going to be timing me? Okay. thank you. So the objectives, we're going to be talking about peer review. And when we first started this working group, we had a lot of differing definitions of what peer review meant. But in the spirit of the initial convening of that working group, it's really, I'll give you our definition that we came up with. It's really just meant to be a constructive process to improve HIA. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more. We'll talk about what the types of different peer review definitions that we came up with. And then we'll describe some of the benefits, challenges, and opportunities based upon our own knowledge, the working group's own knowledge as practitioners, as well as a small survey that we did with other practitioners. And then we're going to offer a framework that we put together as really a first step in a conversation about how do we, again, use this this approach to improve HIA practice and products. So we simply defined it as the evaluation, so some sort of measurement or assessment or input and feedback on the HIA process or product, which is important to distinguish, in order to maintain or enhance the quality of that process or product. So you can already see if we're talking about, peer-reviewed journal, that tends to be more of a postmortem, right? You've already created a product, and now it's up to your peers to judge its fitness. And there's certainly some iterations on that, but that product is mostly finished. We also want to talk about the process of HIA practice. So really getting at this notion of continuous learning and improvement within HIA. The survey that we did was very brief. It was really not very scientific. It was basically a convenience sample, an online survey that we did with practitioners, again, stemming from this HIA of America's workshop that was conducted for a few months in the summer of 2013. 26 people responded. They responded very richly. So we have some interesting, it's really a qualitative survey that we did. So we have some very rich data from that. They were mostly from the United States. I did not mention that SOFIA is intended to be international. I think right now we have roughly 300 to 400 members. Again, most of them based in the U.S. But the intent is that it's, again, that forum for best practice. And we'll talk a little bit more about that at the end. The people that we surveyed had different roles within HIA. There were folks that actually led projects. There were people that were kind of on the periphery, editing or providing some sort of technical assistance to the project. And then there was this group of others that were really kind of disparate in their roles. So the results, and I will encourage you, I really don't want to talk too much about the individual data from this survey that we did, but that will be available. We have a brief that's coming out shortly that will be on the SOFIA website, and there's also a peer review article, ironically, that we've submitted to the Journal of Environmental Impact Assessment Review, and that's under review right now. So there'll be more of that rich data available via those two products. But basically, the findings are summarized in these few bullet points. We didn't get a pulse here, but how many folks have actually participated in some form or fashion in a health impact assessment process? Okay. And the rest of you all are interested in going to do one very soon. In the spirit of this constructive criticism and feedback for quality improvement, continuous quality improvement in HIA, one of the themes that came out was really about the stakeholders in HIA. And so the decision makers, the communities where the decision is occurring that might be affected by it, the funders, and the practitioners. And so there was, as you know, in health impact assessment, the principles of democracy and equity and transparency and these other principles, they really call for this embedded approach. And so peer review is one tool to ensure that those principles are followed. And as well, incorporating different perspectives. HIA is intended, obviously, to be objective, but the inclusion of community data, whether it's real or perceived, is another critical component. And some might call that then subjective, but it's still nonetheless critical data to an HIA. So peer review, again, is a tool to ensure that those perspectives are incorporated. And then there's this kind of group, this final group of concerns that were addressed by peer review. Some of them, kind of the basic accountability, validity, credibility issues. And then there were some that were very practical, like how do we actually, HIA is applied, but how do we actually ensure that it's maximally, optimally useful? Because what happens is you can do a great analysis and have what you might think are great recommendations, but if they're not framed appropriately or reaching and targeted to the right stakeholders, you fall short. And so, again, peer review was a tool to support that. This is our one quantitative data point in our survey. We asked, I don't want to make too much of this, but we asked, how many believe that peer review can actually improve HIA quality? And whatever, four-fifths said yes, it could. And that a standardized process for peer review would be beneficial. A few less said that it would be. So this spurred us. We thought that was convincing enough, and we had already decided, really anyway, that we were going to do it to develop this guidance document, this brief that I've mentioned. Let's see here. So, I've touched on these already. Does anyone have any questions at this point about anything I've said? So, process and product. We talked about engagement, methodology. There's obviously many opportunities within HIA to have technical assistance that helps you with either your actual HIA process of screening, scoping, and then when you get to the analysis, whether it's baseline data collection, analysis of the literature and lit review, or application of that data in some sort of modeling or quantitative, estimates of effect size. Lots of opportunity there, and again, that's what we heard from our small sample. Quality of the product. I've done some research around looking at HIA reports, And while HIA processes may be outstanding, if they do not follow the principle of transparency and fully document what happened during that HIA, including their limitations, uncertainties, and assumptions, in many ways, it didn't happen, right? Because there's no record, there's no document of that transparency, or I'm sorry, of that well done process. And so I have some research on that particular issue. And so there's actually really not much guidance around reporting. And so again, peer review might be one opportunity to have some sort of critical feedback from readers or potential readers as to what's missing in the report, what needs to be more clear, you know, thinking about some of the data points that are elucidated in that report. Are they clearly tied, for instance, to the baseline measurement and whatever effect size you've talked about with your literature and your existing evidence? And is there a clear outcome? Are those three data points tied together? And then again, I mentioned the framing of the recommendations. Are they politically palatable? And, you know, in many cases, we see HIAs growing in really interesting geographies, you know, interesting locations and interesting topics. So there's a growing need to ensure that those recommendations are framed in a way that resonate with the decision makers. And I already really discussed some of these other issues. So what we really started to organize in this framework then was the different types of review. And we came up essentially with these four of a general review, which I'll explain later who does that and really where that fits in the HIA process. The process review, which is really kind of that idea of fit for purpose with an HIA, the fact that all HIAs are different, but they still must follow a set of minimum elements. The technical review, which, you know, really gets at more of the methodology, and then that kind of political aspect. So general reviews would normally be the auspices of an editor, a general editor, some sort of grant writer, someone who's just got a ability with written communication, essentially. The process review really needs to be someone who's experienced in HIA. So again, they can comment on screening and say, did you follow this particular checklist or these sets of elements and weigh each component properly? Or did you, you know, how did you develop your logic model during scoping and whatnot? So someone who's really versed in the best practices around HIA. The technical review could be really farmed out in many different ways, as I mentioned, on some of the, you know, if it's a content area around the particular topic or the methodology. And then the political one is really interesting because there's not been a standardized, deliberate effort to engage politicians in the actual recommendations process, and was something that I've heard in my own research and that we saw again here during this process. I'm going to just skip over this quickly, but the point here was that each of these types of review and these X's are not all equal. Obviously, there's different weight at different points, but that these types of review are best at or most most likely at different points within the HIA process. I'm just going to acknowledge my team. A number of folks here from San Francisco Department of Health, the EPA, several academic institutions, health departments, formerly Pew Health Impact Project, CDC, NACHO. So we had a really good working group, and we're going to continue this work We will, like I said, have that brief available very shortly on the SOFIA website. That address is hiasociety.org. Tiffany will talk a little bit more about SOFIA, but if you need to reach me, I apologize. I don't think, yep, I did put my email up there. Please contact me. Let me know any questions right now. It wasn't really discussed in a working group, so I mean, it's really my own perspective at this point. You know, I was in a panel yesterday where we heard from Washington State, who's doing legislative scoring, which is a super rapid HIA process where they spend essentially 10 hours doing very quick, basically lit reviews on topics that legislators bring forward. And obviously, you know, peer review is not going to fit in that instance. This is the first iteration, and I think it's really going to depend on some of the other working groups. We've heard from, there's a great document now on equity in HIA practice. And so this is not separate from that. It's really more of that guiding framework about at what points, regardless of the type of assessment that's being done, at what points can we improve it? And it's not meant to be a protocol per se, or there's not a set criteria for what needs to undergo this process. It does. Did everybody hear that, more or less? The other thing, this idea of this framework is really, in many ways, it's kind of I don't want to say an artifact, but it's the result of this formalization of this society of practitioners, because we're finally realizing that all of our collaboration to date has really been ad hoc, and we really want to have a more deliberate collaboration as practitioners. So. Certainly, there's lots of opportunities. I also just want to apologize because I am in business meetings all day and I have to go, so I apologize to my presenters and thank you for your time.
Thank you.